You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Friends, it is good to see you. Let's pray here and let's dig in. God, thank you. You're here this morning. You were here before we ever got here. And you're working in our lives, even when we can't hear it or see it or feel it, or in moments where we feel like we are just in a dark place. Help us to give a hallelujah anyway. Teach us, we pray. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. End of the letter of Titus goes like this. Forgive me. I just have to point it out. I made a typo. Can you forgive me? Should say 3:12 to 15, and I'm not going to put it on the tech crew to make changes like that. That's just mean, because they do great every week, and I don't know what I would do without them. So it's my fault. I did this. Now I feel better. I've confessed. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Doesn't sound like much, does it? But there's a lot there. You know, for the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about this letter from Paul to Titus for the church at Crete. He started out by calling Titus his true child, his legit child, hence the name for the series, his legit child in the faith, a legit son or daughter of God. We considered, what are our character defects? Did anybody find one the first week? Awesome. Me too. Yeah, absolutely. And then we went on a little further and we said that there was a battle for the heart and soul of the church. Ultimately, there's all kinds of teaching that's out there today that isn't even remotely Christian. Things like, follow your heart. Well, you can do that, but sometimes your heart will lead you right off a cliff. Especially when it doesn't align with Scripture, you need good people around you, you need opportunity to discern. Hey, is this really of God, or is this really something that I just want for myself? And we went deeper after that, and we said, here's the thing. If you have legit character, then you should share the legit content of the gospel. If you're living in a kind of life where you never share your faith, you're missing out. And quite frankly, you're causing other folks around you to miss out. We went deeper after that, and we said, we're not just supposed to have good doctrine, meaning we aren't just supposed to believe all the right teaching. We're also called to mirror that with good deeds. So do your doctrines and your deeds match up? And that brings us to this place, and quite frankly, I think that's where we find the grind. And that's life, isn't it? Life's the grind. Sometimes it feels like a grind. How many of you feel like you're in a grind season of life right now? Good. Yeah, sometimes life is a grind. It's like one day after another, not a whole lot happens. It's not fantasy and fireworks, but the kind of stuff that's born out of God's faithfulness. We just keep going. We keep moving. We're waiting for this magical place called Nicopolis. In fact, that's exactly what Paul says to Titus. He says, when I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. That sounds amazing to me. I think about Titus. He got the problem church at Crete. And Paul's saying, hey, if you need some R&R time, I want you to come down, hang out with me here at Nicopolis, and we're going to do our thing for the winter. That sounds amazing. It kind of sounds like I love Lexington, but leaving Lexington for Florida in the winter. Anybody with me? There you go. People after my own heart. Well, what is Nicopolis? Nicopolis is on the Adriatic Sea. It had a very mild, temperate sort of climate. It was a city that was founded actually after the Battle of Actium, which is where Caesar Augustus took on Mark Antony, as in Mark Antony and Cleopatra. And that's after that, they fled out to Egypt, and life didn't work out so great for them. But amazing place to go and spend the winter. It had all kinds of religious life. It was a strong place of commerce and trade, beautiful, right on the sea. I mean, I'm a travel agent right now. Come to Nicopolis. The name means City of Victory. Join us there. Yeah, I mean, it sounds great, especially if you think about Titus, who had been through so many different struggles with the Cretan church. You know, the people are all over the place, families getting ripped apart, crazy kinds of cultural teaching that's there, and Paul says, hey, I'm going to send some guys to you, and then you come to Nicopolis. It's going to be epic. Why am I telling you about these last three verses of Scripture? Well, two reasons. I think Titus had to be excited about this, and we've all had that season in our life where we're going, if I can just make it to, yes? If I can just get to, it's going to be great. And the other reason is, this part of the letter is so glanced over. In fact, one of the commentaries that I interacted with for this teaching series offered virtually nothing on these three verses of Scripture. And that really piqued my interest because I got thinking, so if the Holy Spirit cared enough to inspire Paul to write this to Titus in the church at Crete, and if the church was inspired by the Holy Spirit to keep it as part of its canon or rule for Scripture, this is part of the Bible that we read, Why is there nothing there? There's got to be something in there that we're supposed to listen to, and I think this is it. The reason we're supposed to listen to this is because we're all in this kind of life sometimes. We're all stuck in a grind. Are you with me? Where life isn't exciting. Where it feels like, oh my gosh, are we there yet? Where we wonder, when is the next good thing going to come along? How long do I have to be patient here? You want to get to Nicopolis, and yet what God is telling you is you've got to finish the mission that you're on, the one that I've put you on here on Crete. See, Christianity at Crete, it's a grind. It's not big firework moments. It's hard. It's a struggle. It's one foot after the other. It's wondering what's going to happen next. Am I going to be healed? Is God going to move? Should I take the job? Should I not take the job? Why am I stuck in this place? Ever felt that way? Christianity at Crete, it's a grind. Christianity at Nicopolis, it's a glow. And we all want that. In fact, people run all over the place trying to glean that kind of spiritual food. I just want to feel like I did 7 years, 3 months, and 2 days ago when the Holy Spirit lit me up, or when I was called into ministry, or when I started this new job, or when I found love, or whatever. I want that glow back so I can post about it on Instagram. Yes? The grind and the glow. Christianity at Crete, it's a grind. Christianity at Nicopolis, it's the glow. And I'd love for you to think about for just a couple of moments, what season of life are you experiencing right now? Is it the grind or is it the glow? We'll take a moment, just reflect on this question for yourself. All right, confession moment. How many at grind? How many at glow? How many don't want to play? And we got some of that too. Right on. Yeah, I mean, I'd encourage you to think about this for yourself. Are you at grind or glow? And that really moves us to this, back to this letter, because Paul wrote this to Titus, and he says this again. Notice this. He says, "When I send Artemis or Tychicus, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing." You know what this sounds like to me? Babysitting. Are you with me? A little bit? Like, hey, I know you want to take this all-inclusive luxury vacation to Nicopolis where it's going to be amazing and we're going to post about it on Instagram and, you know, we're going to have amazing dinners and ride the boat and all this cool stuff and it's going to be epic. We're going to post it on the gram. I know that you're going to love it, but before you get there, I want you to take care of all these people that I'm going to send you. And by the way, make sure that you show them radical New Testament hospitality, the kind of stuff that the church is known for. Make sure that they lack nothing. How many of you all are up for that? Fish and company, what happens after 3 days? Nobody wants to say it out loud. They start to stink. All right, so here's the thing. And what Paul is saying is, I want you to care for these people. I want you to take care of these people. Give them what they need earnestly, diligently. Provide for them. It's the same thing that Jesus says. That when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Because that's the kind of deeds that follow the doctrine that we follow. And here's the thing, friends. Let me encourage you. The legit character that you're seeking in your life is never born in the seasons of glow. It's born in the seasons of the grind. Yes? The character you want, it's not forged when everything is epic and wonderful and great. It's born, it's forged in those seasons in which every day feels like a grind. Because character is born out of constancy and commitment and the faithfulness of God. It looks like caring for your kids. It looks like listening to a coworker. It looks like singing at a retirement community or serving somebody in need or being a part of God's pantry. That's where character is born. That's where character is forged. And what Paul is saying is, here's the deal, Titus. I know you want to get to what's next. I know you want the holy glow of Nicopolis where it's going to be epic, but I want you to finish the mission at Crete. You can't get to what's next before you go through what is. Finish the mission. Because our character, it's shaped in the grind of life. And yet this is so antithetical, this is so opposite of the way that we tend to want to live our lives, isn't it? Soup kitchens are never hurting for people in November and December. But come June, they can't get enough people. Our character is forged in the grind, not just when you feel like it, not just when it's easy, but when you don't. And really, that emulates the faithfulness of the character of God. Think about God's faithfulness for just a moment. Did you, when you got up this morning, think about whether or not the sun was going to rise? Nope. Kind of just went like, well, that's going to happen again. I mean, this morning in your prayers before you came to church, did you say to God, thank you, Jesus, for photosynthesis today? You're like, okay, 6 years, you've really lost it. But I mean, that's kind of where we're living now. But think about it. If we don't have photosynthesis, how's that going to work out for us? Not so well. And yet God's faithfulness, regardless of whether or not we're faithful to Him, God's character, which is rooted in faithfulness and goodness, is constant. It's never changing. Whether it's a grind season or a glow season doesn't really matter. I think about the moments in my life where I whined so badly to God because it was hard or uncomfortable, or the situation looked bleak or hopeless, or I was tired. And what I could recognize looking back later is that I needed it. You ever had that happen in your life? where, you know, you get to the end of it and it's a glow season of life and God's moving and you feel like you're growing spiritually and all those kinds of things. And you look back and you go, oh man, I thought you were absent. I thought that you weren't working. I thought that you had taken a vacation or gotten bad tacos, God, or something. I thought that you were completely absent from my life. And yet what I see is the constancy, the commitment, your character of goodness and faithfulness. You walked with me and you changed my heart and you changed my life. And that's why I'm living in the place that I am now. Thank you. What if we could learn to love the grind? What if when we got to that season in our lives and we knew, like, day after day, I think I can say this at 9:30 and get away with it, it just sucked during that time. You know what I'm saying? Y'all are like, yeah, I know that season. What if when we got to that season in our lives, we could say, God, thank you. This hurts so good. Y'all are thinking, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But what if we could thank him in that moment that, man, this is hard, man, this is hurt, this hurts so bad right now. Man, I wonder what it is that you're up to and I can't see it and I don't know how I'm going to make it through it. But here's the thing, God, I trust you because your character is rooted in goodness and in faithfulness. And whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing, I know it's going to be great. I think that's what Paul is after in these last few verses of the letter. Here's the deal, Titus. You just want to skip to the winter vacation, but I want you to bloom where you're planted. Last verse. Look at what he says. He says, all who are with me send. See, y'all didn't read it right. It's just like 8:20. All who are with me send
greetings. Greet those. Grace be with you.
Let's try it again. All who are with me send
greetings.
I believe you. They send greetings and
greetings.
Greet those who love us in the faith and
grace be with you all.
Yes, that's so good. You're like, you're nuts. This is what it's all about. To greet somebody in the ancient world is to offer hospitable recognition of that person. Doesn't it feel great, like when you're in the middle of public and you get the bro-bro thing, right? Like, ooh, yeah, what's up? Give me some love. Or the Euro kiss-kiss thing or whatever it is. And you go, man, in this sea of humanity, I know somebody. Yes. Thanks for recognizing that I exist. It's good to have somebody on the journey with me. Jesus says, here's the deal. When you enter into a house, greet it. And if they receive you, leave your blessing there. A greeting's a blessing of sorts. We're in this. And Paul follows the same kind of custom when he says, there are people with me who are greeting you. Greet those. And remember, grace be with you all. You know what I hear? I hear this. I hear we're rooting for you. Don't we need that? Don't we need to hear, man, I'm rooting for you? Man, I know this is hard now, but God is with you. I know this is hard now, but brother, tell me what's going on in your life. I know this is hard now, but sister, I know that I'm praying for you. I know this is hard now, and we're going to walk together through this. I know this is hard now, but here's the thing. The darkness only lasts for a time, but the dawn comes in the morning. I know this is hard, but I'm rooting for you. It's a call to faith. It's a call to keep grinding. And that's the word to Titus on Crete. It's almost time. It's almost time for the glow, but here's the thing. I want you to keep grinding, stay faithful, be hospitable, teach the gospel, be committed to sound doctrine, do the great deeds. Today we heard an amazing video and testimony from a Heidi. She went through a grind season of life. And she wondered what was coming next. And God, where were you at in the midst of all this? And look at the way that God used that season in her life. The healing, amazing. Grateful. Yay, God. Yay, Heidi. But perhaps even more powerful was the character that grew out of the experience. That she bonded closer to her husband. That she realized that there were people in the medical community who were rooting for her. That she realized she was surrounded by a church who loved her and prayed for her. That she realized this was a time, yes, it was awful and it's horrible. And she had so many questions. And yet she saw the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. God can use anything rough that we're going through in our lives. He doesn't bring us to it. But one way or the other, either on this side of heaven or in heaven to come, he'll bring us through it. And in Titus's life, he got a tough church. He got the church at annual conference. All the elderly pastors would say, oh man, I'll be praying for you. And yet in the grind of being faithful to the gospel, to good deeds, to sharing the truth, he experienced true faith. And friends, that's life. Not the big moments. Not the Instagram-worthy glow that we post. But the grind. One step at a time. And that's what we're here at St. Luke to be all about. It's the patterns of life that we try to instill. Worship and inviting and serving and generosity and learning and repeating those things over and over and over again faithfully. That's where we begin to experience the goodness of God. And that's where we end. I want to encourage you with this. If you are bored, apathetic, struggling, sick, struggling more, or wonder where God is at work in this season of your life, may you know this. May you know that God is always at work in the grind. May you know that he'll never leave you or forsake you. And may you know that his grace is always with you. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the grind seasons and the glow seasons and wherever we find ourselves today. We thank you more that grace is always with us there. And so, Lord, for those who are struggling today, for those who wonder what's next, for those who long to see a touch, to hear a whisper, to see what it is that you're up to. God, I pray in your faithfulness and in your goodness, you would give them a nudge today. For those in the glow season celebrating of the work that you're doing, God, help us remember it's not because of anything we've done, but because of the grace that you've poured out. And God, wherever we find ourselves in a season of grind or a season of glow, God, help us be the church. Help us root for one another, to be encouragers, to be prayer warriors, to bring the well-timed word or the act of service or kindness that will be a blessing to someone in the moment they need it most. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray. Encourage and equip us to be your church. We make this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus, and the people of God said,
amen.